It's funny. I started working with Sona back in August of 2010, and all we could do was really talk for a while because we weren't playing anything. But then once March happened, we had a wonderful, wonderful first concert. And then now that that's behind us and was so successful, we're now concentrating on this new season. And we just can't wait to bring the music back.
Five concerts. The first one in just under 3 months, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
September 19th.
Yes.
There are three Masterworks concerts.
Correct, yeah. When we were building the orchestra back up, it was important to all of us that we listened to what the community wanted. And part of that was a mix between the Masterworks and Pops. So we have three Masterworks and two Pops on the coming season.
You're going to open up the whole season with Mozart, The Marriage of Figaro. That seems like a great curtain lifter.
Absolutely. There really is no better curtain lifter out there. It's exciting. It's effervescent. It has all those qualities of classical music that are exciting and just fun. It's great music, and you know, if you haven't had a symphony for a few years like we haven't here, one of the composers you're going to want to hear pretty soon is Mozart.
How much did that go into when you were thinking about what would be on the Masterworks series? Because there's Mozart and there's Rachmaninoff, the Piano Concerto No. 3, which is a wonderful piece. How much were you thinking, you know, things that are just part of, I don't know if you'd say of the canon, but just really bold, wonderful pieces?
Well, that was a huge part of the thinking. And it really goes to my thoughts on programming for this region generally. Is I want to give people what they want. You know, I don't want to play these kind of games of, oh, here's what I think you need. This is not medicine. This is great music, and it's music that's going to move you and make you feel wonderful. And that was my goal.
The first Masterwork is in September. The second is in January. That's when the Rachmaninoff is featured.
Correct. Rachmaninoff and another wonderful Russian piece, the Fifth Symphony of Shostakovich.
And then for the third, and we'll get to the ones that are in the middle of the Masterworks in a moment, the third one, which will be all the way in April of 2012, there's Beethoven Symphony No. 9.
Right. You've heard of that one, right?
Yes. And Mahler.
Yes.
Let's roll up your sleeves kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting. The composer Mahler, you know, he wrote these enormous symphonies that contain basically the entire world and universe within them. There's this enormous works. But this particular piece we're doing, it's not even an entire piece. It's a movement from his Fifth Symphony. And it's, if you don't think you know it, just listen to it. It's one of the most popular, famous pieces of all time. And this movement is one that Mahler wrote as a love song to his then wife, Alma Mahler. And it's written for strings and a harp, and it is lovely. It'll pull on your heartstrings and make you happy and sad and in love and out of love and desperate and all of the emotions you could possibly imagine, all in the space of about 9 minutes. It's really an incredible piece.
So the Masterworks are September, January, April. In between there are a couple of concerts. One that's a Christmas holiday-themed
right.
show.
Right. One, and that one in particular is one we're designing to become a perennial favorite. We want this to become a tradition in the best sense of you know, holiday traditions, where everyone comes down with their families, and you know, Santa's there, and we hear all the music that we love to hear, and chorus and orchestra, and you know, pictures in the lobby, and refreshments, and all these kind of wonderful things that you associate with Christmas time.
That'll be December 10th, and you said a chorus, so you can have voices on the stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
A choral ensemble specifically for Sona?
Well, you know, we're in the middle of thinking about exactly how all of this is going to shape up. But for instance, we have to start talking about talking about chorus as soon as you program a piece like Beethoven 9, which, of course, is nothing without a chorus. But so we're partially in, on the choral question, we're going to be reaching out to different constituents across the region. I mean, we are a regional orchestra, after all. And so we're going to have choruses coming in, and I'm unfortunately not at liberty to say which ones, but we're going to be reaching out all over the place to different existing institutions, and we're going to put together a large mass of voices on that stage. So that's, you know, that is what we will be doing, and we can't wait to unveil those plans soon enough.
And speaking of unveiling plans, the other concert we have not talked about yet takes place on March 10th. Sona and the Fayetteville Jazz Collective. Fayetteville Jazz Collective, this big band.
Absolutely.
In the sense of the Glenn Miller sort of big band. And they'll be on stage. And here's the description. This is all I know about this concert at this point. This is the, you know, three lines, two and a half lines that I have in front of me. The concert places Sona and the Jazz Collective side by side on Walton Arts Center's main stage. Both groups will play greatest hits from both the classical and jazz genres, interwoven into a continuous musical fabric you won't want to miss.
Well, what else do I need to say? That sounds pretty fun. I want to go to that.
So, I mean, do you know yet whether that includes, like, Kind of Blue from Miles Davis, or is all that still to be?
Well, we're still ironing out the details in terms of repertoire, but we do have the basic format set, which is that we will be side by side up there on the main stage, and we will be playing the greatest hits from both of those repertoires. And we will, there are certain pieces written for orchestra that have also been arranged for jazz band, for big band, and we'll be doing a couple of those. And there are also, you know, we'll be going off and doing our own things. You know, the obviously there aren't 250 years of greatest hits of jazz, but there certainly are of classical. So we'll be sticking within our general timelines, and just coming up with something that works. This goes to something that I've been interested in for a long time. In my work in New York City, I've got a group there called Symfo. And a lot of what we have done in the past is, you know, our first concert was called Rewind. And so we took 5 centuries of classical music and wove it into a continuous experience. And we did that by commissioning classical music and all types of music, electronica, anything you can think of. And we transitioned basically from one piece to the next as we went back through time. And so this will be kind of the same idea, where one piece will end, but it'll immediately go into the next piece between orchestra, jazz band, and back again. And obviously it will be programmed in such a way where it's exciting, and it's not just, oh, there is one piece and there's another piece.
You're hoping for some of those aha moments in the crowd, like, oh, I see what they're doing there.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one of the most exciting parts of programming, is figuring out what's going to make an audience have that moment of recognition. Of surprise, in a good way, of course.
Speaking of surprises, that inaugural concert earlier this year included a surprise, which people can see on the Sona homepage.
Absolutely.
When the symphony burst into the Arkansas Fight Song. That wasn't on the program. That was unannounced.
Absolutely. Well, we had two surprises on that first concert, one at the beginning and one at the end. And that's actually a big part of what I would like to introduce, for lack of a better word, into the mix here in Northwest Arkansas with symphonic music. When a lot of people think about a classical music concert, they think about going in there and, you know, sitting down, they have their program, and they read through their program, and you know, there's a blow-by-blow of what happens, and sometimes it's fun to read, sometimes it's really boring. And then you sit down and you hear everything, and it's kind of all set.
No surprises there.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So what I want to introduce is a little bit of the, you know, you go to a rock show. You don't know what they're going to play. There's a sense of surprise and mystery, and oh, are we going to be able to hear that or the other piece? I say piece. I'm such a classical musician. Anyway, I guess we are talking about orchestral music here. So what I want to do is at least once on every concert for our inaugural season, I'd like to just surprise people. You know, play something, and they won't know when it's coming, or even, you know, if it's coming. Maybe I'll withhold for one concert. But, you know, I'd like to give people a sense of mystery and intrigue and excitement about what is this guy going to do this time? Because the surprises are always going to be amazing. There are going to be these aha moments of the classical tradition, or things that were written yesterday that are incredible that you would just never expect. So, in the first concert, we did a piece right at the beginning of the concert. It's a 2-minute movement from the middle of Monteverdi's Vespers of the Virgin Mary. And it had a little tenor chorus way, way back in the behind the audience. It had two soloists playing out in the audience, and those were echoing soloists who were playing on stage with the orchestra, and the lights were down and we had stars on the ceiling, and it was an amazing moment. And then, of course, as you say, at the end of the concert, we burst into Arkansas Fight, which you actually can see on our homepage at sonamusic.org. We had a multi-camera shoot of that, and we knew we were going to be proud of that one. and it's something that the entire community can be proud of. And please do forward to your friends.